place, can we just thank the Lord? Can we just take a moment and just thank God for His goodness? Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for meeting us here. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. I'm keeping all of our team on their toes because we're kind of upending our service schedule today. But what has just happened in this service is right in line with the word that I believe the Lord has given me for today. So what we're going to do, if it's okay, is we're going to skip a lot of the service order things. And I'm going to move right into the Word of God because I believe He wants to confirm what has just happened in Jesus' name. So if you want to just make your way to your seat right now and you want to just remain standing, I'm going to go right to the Word of God because I want to bring some clarity to what has transpired in this room and to continue to do the work, because it's almost as if God has already done the work that I was hoping to prepare our hearts for. And so instead of preparing our hearts, I would like to explain what is happening. And I also just want to tell you that we have one today that is going to be baptized in the name of Jesus at the end of this service. And we're excited and thankful for that. But if you want to turn to the book of 2 Corinthians with me, if you want to stand, and I'm going to jump right into the word today and just preach directly what the Lord, I feel, has given me and has confirmed and already in this service. But 2 Corinthians chapter 10, what is happening? You may say, what is happening right now? And many of you probably know, but I want to bring some clarity. I've already said it. What we've been doing is tearing down spiritual strongholds. And that's not just a cultural thing. There's a word for that. Because we don't fight flesh and blood. We fight a war that's being waged in the spirit. 2 Corinthians 10. For though we walk in the flesh, we walk around physically, we do not war after the flesh. That's why what we're doing here, it's warfare. Why? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, are not man-made, are not physical, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I'm going to explain my title here in a moment, but the title of my sermon today is The Bear in the Imaginary Cage. The Bear in the Imaginary Cage. You can be seated today. I'm here with a very simple message that I will truncate for the sake of time, because I believe God has already done the work. But I want to address every person here today, whether you are a guest or this is a new experience for you, or this place is like your second home. Let me just say that Satan wants to build a stronghold in your mind. In your mind. He wants to build a stronghold in your mind. And more specifically, he would like to build a stronghold comprised of your thought life. You know, we like to say we have public life and a private life. And what we mean by that is the life that other people see, and then maybe the life that we live with our family or by ourselves. But I would argue that there is a third layer to our life, and that is we have our public life, we have our private life, and we have our thought life. There's some things that you wouldn't even share with your spouse. There's some patterns of thinking that would be foreign to anybody if you were to speak them out loud. And yet, you have an entire life that is lived in your thoughts. And this stronghold that Satan wants to build in your life, as I said, is in your mind. And you guessed it. The stronghold that he desires to build is comprised of your very thoughts. Things that you think that become patterns of thinking, that become patterns of the way that you live. And even those of us, I consider myself a very optimistic person, but even optimists, you would have to admit that many times when it comes to your inmost thoughts, you are naturally negative when it comes to yourself. So what happens is we have thoughts that may begin as wayward thoughts, but we begin to solidify them, or, you know, thoughts like, oh, I will never be good enough. I will never be as good as. That mistake I made, I will always be. And that's the reality of thoughts that we have and patterns that we weave. And so there are some thoughts that we have in and of ourselves, things that we struggle with, thoughts that we seemingly can't get away from. And yes, some of those thoughts originate with yourself. Some of those thoughts are things that you think on a consistent basis. And then there are other thoughts that are delivered to you by other people. There are other thoughts that other people may not even realize their impact, but, oh, well, this is just what the way our family is. Oh, well, your father struggled with that as well. Or, oh, you'll never be like them. Or, oh, well, I'm sorry, but you have done this, and so this is who you are. Or, you're not worthy enough for that promotion. Or, well, maybe next time you'll be good enough too. Or whatever the case may be, but they don't realize it. But these things, these thoughts that other people are bringing, they may never think about it again, but they build a stronghold in your mind. And it happens to each and every one of us. And do you know why? The devil wants to do the same thing. He wants to plant thoughts in your mind. But we would know, let me ask you just a question. Let's just poll the room. Does Satan tell the truth or does he tell lies? Okay, objectively, we know that. But why is it so difficult to get away from these thoughts? And you may have never thought about it like this, but think about this. The difficulty is when you agree with Satan about yourself. Think about it. There are times that there are thoughts that you have about yourself that Satan wants to affirm and confirm. And the problem is you agree. Why? Because we all see ourselves with a broken mirror. We all see ourselves in that way. I don't care who you are. Your natural proclivity is to see yourself in a negative light. And again, that's why these strongholds are so powerful, because you agree with the devil. These patterns, these thoughts become a pattern. This pattern becomes a fortress, and these things can work their way so deep into our soul. So deep into our soul. And again, it's not in our public life. It's not in our private life. It's in our thought life. That's why you can come to me. How are you doing? I'm doing great, Pastor. How are things? Things are great. Talk to your spouse. Things are good. All the while, you're saying everything from behind a stronghold. And that's what I'm here to attack today. And we understand it's easy to rejoice for somebody else. It's easy to say, oh, God can heal you. God can deliver you. God can do anything. I've seen him do it before. But it's more difficult. Why? Because the devil makes your thought life so complex that you don't see a way out. He wants to weave webs so complex that you just can't even untangle them. And he did this from the very beginning, because again, all he has is distortion and lies. In the Garden of Eden with Eve, Genesis 3, but she says, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you can't eat of it. Don't touch it. You're going to die. The serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. He began to distort and to twist. And Paul uses this as a comparison when he reflects in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look what he says. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. I love that. The simplicity that is in Christ. The ESV says this. I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. The only weapon the enemy has are our lies. And so let me just tell you, the stronghold that is built in your mind by the enemy, aided by you, is built on lies. But why is it so powerful? Because you agree with it. Because you agree. And I've heard it said this way. A lie believed as true can have the same impact as if it were, because you absorb it, you internalize it. There's a thing you can look it up called confirmation bias. What confirmation bias means is that when you make a decision about yourself or someone else, when you say, this is what they think of me, this is how I see myself, you put on blinders to any evidence to the contrary of that opinion. And then you begin looking for that and to confirm it. And guess what? You're really good at looking for stuff. If you look for certain things, guess what's going to happen? You will find them. And so all of a sudden, that thing that someone said about you that was never meant to get into your spirit, all of a sudden you see it everywhere you go. I'm inadequate. I'm unable. I'll never be better than this. I'm no good. And all of a sudden, here you are. And this fortress can withstand logic. It can withstand a conversation with a good friend. Dare I say, it can withstand the preached word of God. Why? Because you believe this about yourself. And I can't get to this. Only you can, and only God can. Guess who knows your thoughts? Only one person, the Lord. Guess who's trying to get into your thoughts? The enemy. Again, the danger is you agree with him. So what did we just do, this experience that we just had? What's amazing about that, we see, and let me just say, Jesus getting fed up with the Jews who were challenging him, he even said this, John 8:44, you are of your father, the devil. Pretty strong words. And your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character. Another translation says, when he lies, he speaks in his native tongue. That's all he knows. And so we would obviously say, well, I'm not going to believe the devil. No, but you believe yourself. And when what you think about you lines up with what the devil thinks about you, spiritual stronghold. Spiritual stronghold. But again, I don't say this to tell you that what is happening is an impenetrable fortress. I already read it. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What we just experienced was God saying, let me just pull down some strongholds in your life. How do you pull down strongholds? It's all in the name of Jesus. That's what you are doing today, saying, devil, I refuse to believe that about myself. I don't care what I've been through, that's not going to be a stronghold in my life. In the name of Jesus, I reject that. I'm not going to absorb that. I'm not going to believe that. So you want to know, there's some spiritual weights falling off of people. There's some chains coming off of people. There's some strongholds that are being torn down. That's why we're rejoicing. That's why they're excited, because they're like, I can see it. These things are at my feet. These strongholds have been broken. I can't do it. No man can do it. Only the power of Jesus Christ can tear down your spiritual strongholds. Oh, can somebody just rejoice today? We're tearing down spiritual strongholds in Jesus' name. How do I do it? In the name of Jesus. How do I do it? With the word of God. How do I do it? In prayer. That's the only way to tear down strongholds. That's why we see in Luke chapter 4, when the devil is tempting Jesus, he doesn't even argue with them. Jesus doesn't even entertain it. You've heard me preach it. But he says, oh, why don't you just make these stones turn into bread? And Jesus answers with the word. He says, for it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I want to tell somebody today, you need to get this word in your heart, that whenever the devil comes up and brings something in your mind, you've got an answer for it immediately. I'm not going to answer with my logic. I'm not going to answer with my mind. I can't trust my mind, but I can answer with the word of God. And when God speaks, it can destroy strongholds. When God speaks, it can tear down anything that the devil has erected in your mind. You're going to be free today. You're going to be free in your mind today. You're going to be free in your perspective today. You're going to be free in your family today. I declare it, not by my ability, not in the name of Daniel Bernard, but in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what's happening today. That's why we're excited today. That's why we clap and we dance and we're jubilant. Because I was bound, but now I'm free. Ephesians says it like this. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in heavenly realms. It's the name of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus. We've got to get in this word. Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the what? The thoughts. This word can discern your thoughts. It can understand things about your thought life that you can't even disentangle and make sense of. So what is the answer? Well, how do we do that? We got to understand that it comes by the word. We got to get in the word today. Now, let me be clear. There is a natural and a supernatural component to this. But what I'm preaching today is not just self-help, which I believe in. What I'm preaching today is not just therapy, which I believe in and think is a very powerful and necessary tool in some people's life. I'm not preaching behavior modification today, although there's certainly wonderful aspects of that. Yes, read. Yes, educate yourself. But what I'm telling you today is I'm preaching that there is a whole life spiritual transformation that can be found in Jesus Christ. Guess what? You don't become a better version of yourself. It's not more disciplined, a better version. No, he says that you are born again. You are a new person, not a better version of yourself. You're a new person. The old has passed away and all things have become new. I declare that you're a new person in Christ, not a better version of the old you, a new you that only God can make. That's what I'm preaching here today. Whole life transformation. And we believe there's so many things. And if you're here today and your immediate thought is, you have no idea what I've done. If you only knew. If those are the kind of statements, because guess what? Even while I'm speaking, you are arguing with me in your mind. Why? Because that's the way they're wired. I say, God wants you to conquer. You say, no. If you knew about this, and if you knew about this, and if you knew about this, and if you knew about this, you would think differently. I'm telling you, no. I'm telling you, you've got to tear down those things. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what's happened in your life. Those things don't matter in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation. But what about this? You don't understand. No condemnation. But no condemnation. Somebody needs to understand today that you can tear down those strongholds. I don't care if you thought that way for 20 years. You can tear it down today. You can tear it down today. It can be destroyed today. Why? Because there's no condemnation for you that are in Christ Jesus. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, let me tell you what your first step is. Your first step today is to be baptized in Jesus' name and to have the name of Jesus applied to your life. If you've never experienced that and you're like, man, I want to be free. I want all these things. You need to be baptized in Jesus' name. And again, guess what? You're arguing with me. I can't read your mind, but I know my mind. That's when my mind works. I can argue my way out of anything. I can mentally think my way out of any conversation. I can dismantle in a moment and convince myself that I'm right. But again, if your thought process is aligned with Satan's thoughts for you, you will always take on untruths and absorb them as if they were true. You got to understand that today. That's the way the enemy works. So today, let me ask you this way. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, do you have thoughts that you just can't seem to get away from? Are you stuck in the same cycle of thinking over and over and over, even though you know that you shouldn't do this? Do you find yourself coming back to the same mistakes over and over? Do you feel like, you know what, I haven't grown any in my life and in my maturity, my spirituality? Well, guess what? Step one is to be baptized in Jesus' name and to have the blood of Jesus applied to your life. Why? Because the Bible says you become a new creation. So let me ask you this. Okay, I'm with you, Pastor. But I've done this before. I've torn down things before. I've had a great moment in the Lord before. That's what some of you are thinking. You've been around for a while. Okay, that's great. What next? Let me tell you why this is so challenging. Let me tell you why all of this that is destroyed right now in this moment, because you've prayed, you've torn down strongholds, you believe that. Here's a problem. You know how all of this fits. You know exactly where all these pieces go. And so does the enemy. So this is the issue. The moment you leave this place, this is the kind of thought. None of that was real. You're not really free. What about this? You're still going to go back to that. Your husband is still going to. Your spouse is still going to. And before you even hit the parking lot If you allow, listen, if you allow one thought to align itself with the enemy, you will rebuild this entire stronghold, brick by brick, because you know exactly where every piece goes and every piece fits. And this is the challenge of believers. This is where you are. It's great that you can tear down strongholds. So what do? Well, there's an answer. We've already read it, but let's look at it again. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That is the key today. We need to understand. The English Standard Version says this: we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Now, you could argue, well, maybe in the garden, maybe Eve didn't understand exactly what the serpent's intentions were. And there are some times when you're like, well, I don't know where that thought came from, but it sounds about right. You know, let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard about how bank tellers, how do they know when there's counterfeit money? You ever studied this? It's just an interesting question. And if you study it, there's no way they can keep up with every new technique, every new counterfeit method. That they don't have a brief every single morning and say, we found these 5 counterfeits. That's the point of counterfeits, or secret. How do they know? You know what the answer is? They spend so much time interacting with the real thing. They study the real thing. And so when a counterfeit comes across, they can identify. Why? Because they know the real thing when they feel it. They know the real thing when they see it. So they may not know every single answer, but I'm telling you today, the answer is, you may not know every thought, but you better know the word. You may not know where everything came from that you struggle with, but if you know the truth, then if anything is different than the truth, you say no. It may sound good to me. I may agree with it. It may seem rational. It may seem real, but if it's not the truth, if it's not this word, I've got to reject it and I got to bring it captive. That's the answer to getting free and staying free. I'm declaring somebody today, you came in here, you were feeling like you were a prisoner of your thought life, but you're going to leave here saying, no, these thoughts are now my prisoner unto Christ. I'm not the prisoner anymore. My thoughts are held captive. My thoughts are the prisoners to Christ. That's what I'm declaring today. Don't you rebuild these strongholds. Don't you rebuild what you have destroyed in the name of Jesus. Stand with me. I'm coming to a close. You need to understand that today. Don't rebuild the strongholds. It's so easy to rebuild what you have destroyed in spirit because you know how everything fits together so perfectly. So we have to cast down everything. Again, in the garden, Eve, you could argue, did not immediately cast down because there was some sense of truth. There's some semblance of truth to it. But Jesus, when tempted by Satan, make these stones bread. He said, for it is written. Here's the word. Guess what? You're probably not going to be able to keep up with every single thought and every single thing. But you can't. That's not the point. The point is, if you get to know the thoughts of Christ about you, if you can get in this word, that is the way to overcome. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take thought, every thought captive to obey Christ. Casting down imaginations. The enemy will love to paint a picture, not of reality, but of what is going to be. But it's just an imagination of the enemy. But again, because it makes sense to you, you think you're probably right. But I'm telling you, you've got to cast down every imagination, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Bring into captivity every thought. If you tear down strongholds, but don't take your thoughts captive, you will immediately begin the process of rebuilding them. Again, don't nod your head at this, but you've been arguing with me. A portion of your mind has been arguing with me this whole sermon. Why? Because you've been here before. Because you've experienced this before. Because you've torn down strongholds before. But it takes both. Tear down strongholds. Take thoughts captive. And it takes time. Why? Because patterns are patterns for a reason. They're well developed. And there is, again, that natural component. You got to rewire some things. Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Only God can renew your mind. But if you try to bring thoughts into captivity, but don't tear down strongholds, you will not be able to overcome your own agreement with the devil about yourself. Now, my title, kind of a weird title, The Bear in the Imaginary Cage. I'll tell you a story. They're going to play a video, kind of loop it. This is video footage of a bear named Ina. It was kept in a tiny cage in a zoo in Romania for 20 years. From everything I can understand, at the time of this filming, she has been released into freedom for 7 years. But although free, although in the opening of the world, you can even see in the video, I think there's another bear walking in the back of the video. Said whenever something would, and sometimes she would wander away, but every time there was something, a sound, some sort of trigger, this is what she'll do. For 7 years, she paces. Why? Because her mind is not free. Now, you and I can look at it from the outside and say, well, just take one step. But you know what? She can't even see it. She can't even imagine a world outside of this. So this is what she does. And my fear is that this is you, spiritually, stuck in the same cycle of thinking. And I can preach that you're free. I can show you that you're free. I can show a video. But none of that matters if we don't do both. Tear down strongholds. Take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. What will we be? We will be a bear that is supposed to, is meant to rule this habitation, that is meant to be the most powerful being in the forest, and yet all it is a well-worn, muddy path in a circle. Why? Because there's a cage that no longer exists, not even a real cage. It's a cage of her mindset. And I'm applying this spiritually to us. And I'm talking to people that you are, this is a new context, and we talk, if you're a guest, I know I've been passionate. I know I'm passionate today. But I hope you can see what I see. Is this you stuck in a mindset you can't get out of? Stuck in cycles of thinking, stuck in cycles of pain, stuck in cycles of grief? And I can't figure it out. I can tell you what it is. It starts with a spiritual transformation. And for those of us that are in Christ, how can we become like that? How is that possible? I thought all the promises, well, tear down strongholds. We did that. That's already happened today. I saw it on faces of people. I saw it in your spirit. I saw it in your eyes. I saw it being released. So for some of you, you still need to do that. You were standing around arguing in this inside your mind with what was happening. This is kind of weird. This is, you know, all these people. What you don't know, you don't know their story. You don't know that person that was standing at the altar was bound by drugs for years, and they're just reflecting, God, thank you for freeing me. I had no way out. You don't know that the people that, from a broken background, their family was broken, and everything they thought about themselves was, I will never be whole. I will always be broken. And they're here with a married and family because the grace of God. You don't know those stories. But let me tell somebody today, if that's you, if you're stuck in a cycle of thinking, you have a spiritual stronghold. Yes, there are natural components of it. I'm not negating that. But I'm telling you, the weapons of our warfare are not physical and carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So in a moment, I'm going to invite us to come down and pray around the front. And even that might be odd to you. But let me just, again, paint this picture. If you say, you know what? Everything he's saying is right. I feel that way. But I don't want to go down to the front. That's weird. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, if you've never prayed a prayer like that, I don't want to offend our church members. Let me just say this. Try it. Try it. And if I'm wrong, you get a bath. But if I'm right, your life is forever changed. And for others, maybe you're like, man, I don't want to pray. That seems odd. I want to encourage you. You may step out of your chair and you may walk down and on the outside you're just walking, but on the inside you're saying, no, I don't want to do this. I hate this. Let me just say, I recognize that. But maybe, just maybe, letting somebody pray with you, could that not be the crack in the door that opens up that thought life just enough that maybe someone can come alongside you and begin to speak some words? God loves you. God sees you exactly where you are. God's not done with you. Could it be that maybe the words of somebody else could help with that stronghold? And then after that, we're gonna pray, because if we're not careful, we'll leave this place and we'll build it right back the way it was, because we don't take it into captivity. So I know we've already had an incredible move of God, a deep and powerful experience in the Lord. But I'm asking, if you say, you know what, I may not feel exactly this way, but I don't want to be that. If that's you in your spirit today, would you, can we just come down to the front? Can we just pray together? Would you mind just coming down and let's pray that prayer? And if you want to be baptized in Jesus' name and you've never been baptized, Pastor Kento, can you just wave your hand? Sister Talisha, can you wave your hand? If you want to just come see Pastor Kento right here, I want to baptize you today. I would love to baptize you in Jesus' name, and you have that experience. If you've never had that experience, but for the rest of us, that's it. Come on in, crowd on in, make room. I want us to begin to tear down some strongholds. I don't know what your thought life is. That's the point. The point is, I don't know. I don't have access to your thoughts. I can't get in your thoughts, but God knows your every thought. And so today I just want to pray over you, and I want you to begin to pray, because there are some deep-rooted thoughts that it's God's plan today that you would begin to dismantle them and tear them down, and some thoughts that you're not meant to think. So I pray, would you begin to pray with me all across this place? Lord, I declare in the name of Jesus that we would tear down some strongholds of thinking. God, that there are some thought processes that we have, some deep-rooted thoughts in our life, God, and I pray that we would begin to understand, God, that you want to free us from that today. God, I declare freedom from the captivity of our thoughts, Lord. Lord, I pray today that we would be released and free from those things that would have us bound. In Jesus' name, let them be freed across this place. Yes, that's it. You don't have to wait for me to come pray for you. You don't have to wait for a minister to pray for you. You can be freed in your mind today. Would you pray? Would you seek God? I want to tear down strongholds in Jesus' name. Tear down strongholds in Jesus' name.
Can you imagine, with all of the faith in the room, what the Lord can do? What the Lord can do? And it's gonna happen. Just let the wave go through. He's gonna move. Yes, he's gonna move. Can you imagine, with all of the faith
in the room,
anything.
out together. This is what freedom looks like. Thank you, Jesus. We rejoice. We rejoice in your freedom, oh God. Yes, that's it. Be free today. Continue to pray. God is